Well, it's officially that time of the year where we are keeping an eye on the highway hotline. I've got it up here in the studio this morning because parts of Saskatchewan, and there's just a couple of pockets up around the Maidstone, Lloydminster area, Prince Albert, Rosthern, Big River, and then even down just a little bit south of Foam Lake. It looks as if, highway's not terrible yet, but they are in some spots covered in snow. And we know with the temperature always hovering around that melting mark, it has the ability to become slippery. So keep an eye out this morning. If you're on the highway hotline, always welcome your texts and calls. Good morning. It's Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a day where we have got a full show. Like, I mean, a full show. We're still mulling over the federal budget. Federal conservative justice critic Jasraj Singh Halan will be joining the show. How about defense spending in the budget? No one better than General Rick Hillier, Canada's former chief of defense staff, a good friend of our program. He will be here to discuss that as well. It's our monthly check-in with Regina Mayor Chad Bashinsky, and later in the program, a great call-in segment on artificial intelligence with our guest Brian McQuinn from the University of Regina. Let's get going with today's Big Talker. All right, on the...
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the Big Talker.
On the program today, I mean, we've been talking about the budget, and we always welcome different guests on. We had Vashi on earlier this week, Vashi Capellos, Ian Lee from Carleton University, Jason Childs from University of Regina. Haven't yet chatted with Premier Scott Moe, but I'm happy to say we've caught up with him this morning, just ahead of a big announcement, actually, that the Premier's got going to be making. We'll talk about that as well. Premier Scott Moe, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much, Evan, and just to your listeners, stay safe out there. Some slippery roads for snowfall of the season in many areas.
In fact, back home for you, back in your neck of the woods, one of the areas that I can see snowfall on the roadways, for sure.
That's right. I'm hoping to get there tonight, but we will see.
Okay, so federal budget came down this week, and we're liking to hear from various leaders throughout the country. I'm curious, from the provincial standpoint, just general thoughts on this year's budget.
I'd say he's somewhat positive, and I'd raise just, you know, 3 points, and not a lot of surprises, I think, in the budget. But the first point would be, you know, $78 billion deficit. That's big. That's a big deficit, and that's something that we're going to have to work at as Canadians to get under control sooner rather than later. It's there because of previous investment spending commitments that can't be turned on a year. But I would say also it's there due to we have a sputtering Canadian economy right now with tariffs, trade issues around the world. And in the immediate term, our economy is just not performing very well because we aren't able to access these, you know, traditional markets, the U.S., China, India, and many others. And that's showing up in the revenue lines of the federal budget. And I think you'll see it in the provincial revenue lines as well over the next number of weeks. Second to that is infrastructure for community-based infrastructure was part of this budget. We welcome that. Minister Schmaltz and Cheveldayoff had hosted, I think, about eight various mayors and Sarm and Suma in a joint trip to Ottawa to meet with relevant ministers in the lead-up to the budget, impressing on them the importance of community-based infrastructure programs that are cost-shared, federal, provincial, and municipal. You'll have the mayor of Regina, Chad Bashinsky, on later. He was part of that delegation, and it was, a positive trip with a somewhat of a positive outcome here with, again, there's details here that are going to matter, but we're happy to see some renewal of the infrastructure program. And then last but not least, and not surprising, were some comments around, you know, the carbon tax on the industrial side, or the OBPS program. This is something that we've been working with the federal government on for a few months now, trying to find a landing spot so that we can move forward across Canada in a way that is good for the business environment, the industries that are creating wealth in Saskatchewan, and a place where we can actually function as a nation and achieve some of, you know, what the Prime Minister's aspirations were around the strongest economy in the G7 and being a global energy superpower. So we're working on that. It was mentioned in the budget, and we'll continue to work on that in the months ahead.
Premier Scott Moe is my guest. Can we talk just a little bit more about energy, Premier? Because it wasn't that long ago. I remember you and Danielle Smith meeting in Lloydminster. You had a bit of a summit on oil, gas, and energy. And you laid out, I think it was about 10 different things that you wanted to see the federal government reverse direction on. In this budget, we see oil and gas caps brought up. We see greenwashing brought up, but it feels like there's still strings attached. So how optimistic are you that we're making progress?
Somewhat, and at least we're able to engage with Prime Minister Carney and his administration. That's new. Prior to that, things were essentially being dictated by the previous administration. So we're thankful for that. We're hopeful, somewhat hopeful we'll be able to find a path forward that's workable for our industries. And we very much align with the regulatory changes that, as we see it, need to happen. But we very much align with Premier Smith in Alberta. Sometimes the emphasis is a little bit different. We have an energy transition that has to happen here from coal, about 1,000 megawatts of coal-fired power that we want to find our way to nuclear over the next couple of decades or so. And that's all part of that discussion. We need, we're supportive of that pipeline to the northwest coast and working alongside Alberta on that. And one of the things in order for that to happen is to be able to increase our very sustainable oil production to fill it up and to provide energy security to the world. And so those, 9 or 10 regulatory changes that need to happen. We need to work on that. Bill C-5 kind of legislates through it in the short term, but we need to continue to work on that with this federal government or whoever is the federal government in the days, the weeks or months ahead.
You brought up nuclear, Premier. How about that Cameco Westinghouse deal with the U.S., that $80 billion? This is a big deal. Tell me what it means for Saskatchewan. What's the benefit for the province?
It's huge for Saskatchewan. It's huge for Canada, North America, and the world. This is one of the largest, most significant deals in nuclear investments by any country, any Western country in the world today, and it involves very much a fuel supply coming from Saskatchewan and ownership coming from a Saskatchewan company in Cameco. And so there are all sorts of opportunities, not just on the mining end, but on the entire engagement of the nuclear supply chain, as well as everything else that comes along with about $80 billion being invested in this space. Second to that, more direct in opportunity for, I would again say, North America and the Western world, but Saskatchewan in particular, as we're looking at a nuclear future, is this is going to provide cost certainty in that large reactor space. And this is one of the things that the Western nuclear industry has really been searching for, is someone to step in, do a significant build, so that we can drive the costs of these reactors into a space where you know what it is going to end up at when it's up and functioning. And so this is huge for our conversation locally. It's huge for Saskatchewan in the demand for Saskatchewan uranium, and we have at least two more mines that are working through the regulatory process, as well as expansion of the existing mines. And so this is exactly the opportunities that I think we can now repeat in other areas of the world in the uranium industry, but also in other industries that we have in the province as well. So as challenging as I say the near term is for our Canadian economy, the medium to long term has some tremendous opportunities for our province and our nation.
Mm-hmm. Premier Scott Moe is my guest. You were talking about, and we've certainly felt from you since Prime Minister Mark Carney won the election, that there has been at least an appetite to consult, to talk. And I think about what's going on with the tariffs from China on our ag sector. Last week, the Prime Minister met with China's president, first time in a long time that has happened. He gave you credit for some of the foundational groundwork you laid in trying to find a way from these tariffs. Are we any further ahead, Premier?
We're getting there, and I might be back in that market sooner rather than later as well to keep that conversation alive and keep it progressing as quickly and as ambitiously as we can. Our three largest markets, United States, China, India, we have tariff-related issues in each of those markets right now. Saskatchewan has trade offices in China and India. Again, we'll have delegations in Washington again likely before the end of the year. A little challenging there with their government shutdown. However, we've been talking with various Trump secretaries as well. We need to find our way through all of those trade-related challenges to fix that short-term challenge that we have in the Canadian economy that just is really sputtering away right now. And we need to, I compare it to this, Evan, as well, with the change in tone that you see in Saskatchewan. And, I'm hopeful that it can continue. We'll see. It's always been a reactive tone from Saskatchewan. But for 10 years, we had a number of things done to us and done to Saskatchewan industries that weren't in the best interest of how we were creating jobs, creating wealth, and creating opportunities. opportunity for our young people and people that wanted to stay in Saskatchewan. Today, that's changed. Today, we as Canada are having things done to us by other international leaders, and we need to come together as Canadians to defend, in many ways, our very way of life, but certainly to defend the Canadian economy and the strength of the Canadian economy that we have. And so things have changed somewhat in the last year and a half, and I think we need to realize that.
I think about, I know we are seeing some positive direction in many areas, or at least in terms of the willingness to work together. Things like the gun buyback program, even the carbon tax issue is still a sticking point for our province, I see. But in terms of the trade problems, it seems like a collaborative approach from our province. Doug Ford, on the other hand, recently threw that commercial out. He was very adamant that this was the right thing for him to do to protect the people in his province. How did you see that commercial, Premier?
That was tough, and I have known Doug for quite a long time, and it was he said this commercial was able to raise a conversation. Well, our goal is not to raise a conversation. Our goal is actually to get to a trade deal with the United States of America, and preferably one that has no tariffs at all. And I don't think that commercial helped us in getting to that place. And so we need to, I think, as Canadians and as subnational leaders, keep our eye on the ball on what it is we actually want. Here. We don't want the fight. We don't want the conversation. We actually want a trade deal, and we should be, all taking steps to get us to that point. And, I realize that it isn't going to be, any premier and President Trump standing up announcing that trade deal. It's going to have to be our prime minister, whether we voted for him or not, and we're trying to support him to get to that point.
I want to talk P-tariffs very quickly before we move on to this announcement that you've got coming up, because these P-tariffs from India feel a bit different. It has more to do with internal pressure in the country, is my understanding. Is there a different strategy? We have a good relationship with India as a province. What's the strategy there, Premier?
Yeah, we do, and we've been over there, and I have plans to either be in market or meeting with the highest ranking officials or ministers in Prime Minister Modi's government in the near future as well on this topic. And there's really two reasons why P tariffs will go on India. One is external, when they're not getting along with a country and need to have a counter tariff or apply a tariff in some way, or one is internal when they're trying to protect some of the price for internally for their ag producers, which are largely sustenance producers. It's not market-based agriculture per se like it is here in Western Canada. And so we work through those two challenges in a different way. Thankfully, we have a very strong trade office, both in India and China, as it turns out, very strong. And we're working through that trade office to sit down with either Minister Jaishankar or Minister Goyal very shortly, and to ensure that if there's going to be no movement in the short term on the broader tariffs that they've applied, when there is movement, that it should be Saskatchewan and Canada that moves first. And we have a good enough relationship that we can have a pretty open conversation about that. And I'm very hopeful that we're going to be able to find our way in the next few months on hopefully to a U.S. trade deal of some sort, but also some type of reprieve or changing in our relationship with China and broadening of it past, even beyond canola, and finding our way through this most recent pulse challenge with India. These are our three largest markets. It's an imperative that we have non-tariff access to all of them at the same time.
Premier Scott Moe is my guest. Okay, you've got a big announcement, I know, coming up at 9 o'clock. Can you give us a sneak peek? I mean, we're 10 minutes away from 9.
Sure. Yeah, we all the way from Park Beg, Saskatchewan, we have Gaynor the Golfer and some of the riders organization are in here today, where we're going to sign a very big proclamation, probably sign it in a felt marker or a Sharpie, and turn around and show to everyone that tomorrow, Friday, November the 7th is going to be Green and White Day. We have the Western Final coming up. We have a strong Rough Riders organization, best team in the league this year, that are going to hit the ground here in Regina, Saskatchewan for the Western Final. Certainly we're hoping for success in that. And we're asking everyone in the province to proudly wear the green and white on Friday, the November 7th, to support our professional football team.
I love it. It's what a big weekend of football, Premier. We got the
Party
Rams
going on.
Yeah, the Hilltops, Rams, Huskies. It's huge.
Yeah, it's we can be very proud of the youth and the athletes that we have in this province. And this is a weekend for us to put our pride on full display for everyone in this nation to see.
I know it's been said before, Premier, but it really does, I think, stand and shows that sports brings us together. The announcement of the 2027 Grey Cup, the announcement of the 2027 Brier, both in our province. This is real positive stuff at a time where I feel like we need that.
Yeah, very much, and he saw that even with the Blue Jays. You know, made a tremendous run to the World Series. As you know, Evan, you and I can both get behind the Edmonton Oilers and their run for a Stanley Cup this year. But in the interim, and if we don't agree on that, in the interim, we certainly are going to agree on getting behind our Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But it's good for the province, and it's good for Canadians, and it's just really good, I think, for each of us as individuals to, pull together as whether it's in this province or across Canada, and at times defend what we value, but to really agree and move forward as a nation and as a province. And if it takes a sports team for us to remind us what we can accomplish when we do that, all the better.
Premier Moe, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Take care, Evan.